At Dunkin', the flavors of pumpkin are back in a big way. We're talking pumpkin donuts, pumpkin muffins, pumpkin munchkins donut holes. Oh boy, pumpkin coffee, pumpkin iced coffee, pumpkin frozen coffee, pumpkin lattes, and the exciting new cinnamon sugar pumpkin signature latte, which has got sugar and spice and everything nice. Phew, it's pumpkin flavored everything at Dunkin'. America runs on Dunkin'. Oh, and pumpkin K-Cup pods too. Limited time offer, participation may vary. Keurig and K-Cup used under license.
Internets, what's up? This is the ROI of Y, your number one podcast about all things business as it relates to purpose and impact. I'm Andrew Tuzon, the Vice President of Creative over at Firespring. And, you know, by now you expect this. Who am I without my very lovely co-host?
Hello, hello.
Angie Kubicek. How's it going? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing this day?
Whoa, I get another one?
You do. Every now and then, I care about your site as well.
No, I appreciate that. I like that you're like honest about it too. Like every once in a while.
Every once in a while, I remember to not just have it be about me.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I'll check in with you. See what's going on. What's new in your world? Like what's
God, you know, right now I'm just like, my mind's a little like swelled with all of the things that I've been hearing from the Do More Good conference and just kind of really thinking about how I can take a lot of the practices and principles and just like be a better leader to my team and all the things. But
what's your biggest takeaway so far?
I think my biggest takeaway is really starting to be still within myself in order to appropriately lead my team.
Mm.
And Ed O'Boyle from Gallup dropped some really big like bombs on just like 52% of your employees are actively seeking an outside job.
Right.
And they always say you leave your manager, not your job. And so just hearing people talk about how to be more vulnerable and being okay with like failing and being a little insecure and owning that makes you a better leader is kind of like my number one.
I like it.
So yeah. How about you?
Well, it's tough to like sum it up all in one.
That's a tough question.
I gotta like, for me, you know, like John Rood's an amazing human being, obviously.
Yes.
There's the Star Wars connection there too, though. Our conversation with Tony Goins
was
pretty incredible. And like, just, I have nothing but just love and respect for that guy.
Yeah.
I did have a really like strange experience yesterday though. So I go upstairs to grab like some food, or I don't remember exactly why I went upstairs where the conference is at. But I go upstairs and I bump into Blake, one of the guys that we both know.
Uh-huh.
And we're talking about the day, and he goes, "Hey, I meant to tell you, your one of your friends from elementary school is here." And I'm like, "What?" Like, and this kind of weird crap happens to me everywhere I go all the time, right? Like, I remember I was on a business trip in Nashville like 4 years ago, and I like randomly stopped at this donut joint before my meeting at this random office to get donuts, and there were two people I went to high school with who ended up getting married. And they live in Nashville now, right? Like,
what?
That's like my life is weird like that. So Blake says, "Yeah, one of your friends from elementary school is here." And so like very quickly, I'm going through the roster and like yearbook photo of all of us on the carpet with like the little thing with the like the letters that punch into the block or whatever. And I can't figure out like who the hell would be here. Anyways, it was Becky Weber, which was really cool. I haven't seen her in a long time.
She has a very
time.
Classic like throwback name
right,
to that person
right,
that you
right.
can see. Becky Weber.
Becky Weber. So it was weird, but it was cool. Like we caught up. We haven't seen each other since I think like fifth grade. Right. So like in addition to all the good like knowledge bombs and vibes and just energy that are surrounding the conference, you know, I reconnected with a homie from my childhood. So
nice.
That was tight.
Yeah. The other thing I'm just loving about this conference is that it's not like a one note conference where everyone's from the same industry or vertical, but that we're seeing this landscape of people who are in the lumber industry, or they're an investing firm, or they're in the agricultural sector. Like it's this whole Do More Good premise and standing for a purpose or trying to leave your community better can be done in any vertical,
right.
Which is like so crazy.
Well,
amazing.
That's today's show too, right? Like
right.
We kind of like digress into a whole nother space with today's show. Right. We've got somebody coming on the show that has a very diverse background, but also works in a space that we've not spent a ton of time with.
I know. On the show. And before we go into talking with Ken, we do need to give our sponsors who keep me running.
Yep.
The Foundry, a little bit of love for helping keep me going. But also, I know the rest of the crew, we drink a lot of coffee and it's amazing. And their mission and values are just like top notch, right?
It's unbelievable what they're doing. And I do need to connect with Randy to make sure that, you know, they start stocking LaCroix so I can, you know, participate. But but yeah, I love what they're doing. Love what they're doing. If you guys are in Lincoln or you swing by Lincoln or swing through Lincoln, excuse me, make sure that you swing by the Foundry on that trip. Ask for Randy. Tell him that Andrew and Angie sent you.
Yes, and you'll have one of the best cups of coffee. If not, I will say the best cup of coffee you'll have.
Or a beer. Right?
Or beer, that's fine. Or a cocktail, whatever, you know, mood you're in that day. Have a coffee and a beer sometime is what I do.
Simultaneously?
Have a you just have like a smorgasbord of drinks, right? So
I like
that's what I like about the Foundry is I can have my caffeine and my drink. So like it all works out.
Yeah, duality.
Yeah,
nice. Life. All right, so who are we talking to today?
So we are here with Ken McCarty from McCarty Farms and their dairy operation. And they are really focused about changing the way that people are providing dairy, I think, to our communities and working with partners that are really focused on sustainability. And so they have 5 different farms in 3 states.
Oh, wow.
And I think it's been, you know, I grew up in an ag background. My family has farms. There's a lot of like tension, I feel like, when we start talking about sustainability, where people get uncomfortable immediately. But I think the fact that people and growers and farmers are starting to shift, that's really inspiring. And so I'm excited to see what motivated Ken and his family to make that leap.
We'll pick the brain, right?
Like, yeah,
it'll
let's go there.
It'll be good stuff. I'm like, had I known we were going to like go into this space, all the episodes before I made milk jokes, like, I feel like I wasted them. Like, this
you
is
did.
Where it
this
makes
is
sense.
Where it all, it's so weird that like every episode we talk about a thing and then like the next episode it's like we planned it or something.
No, maybe we did.
We did.
We'll leave it up to mystery. Yeah. So all right, let's jump in. How are you, man?
I'm doing really well.
That's
doing
awesome.
Really well. Enjoying the conference.
Yeah, yeah. And so you're in Lincoln right now.
Yep.
Right? Where are you actually from?
So I was born and raised in northeastern Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And in the early 2000s moved to western Kansas. Mm-hmm. So Colby, basically.
Yeah,
everyone stops there for coffee when they are on their way to Denver to ski.
Right.
So that's how they know us.
Right. So, nice. Yeah. And so this probably, with you being in close proximity, probably not your first time in Lincoln, right?
No.
Very good.
No.
Cool.
I went to school at K-State in Manhattan, so,
okay.
You know, I didn't really was able to like you guys.
Right.
You know.
Are you over it now, or is it still like in your blood?
In my heart of hearts, I'm a Penn State fan anyway.
Okay.
So. Oh, so that's fair. Big 10?
Yeah, Big Ten, way to go.
All right. So before we jump in and we start picking your brain, like on all things business and what you guys are doing for impact, you know, and I'll try to work in a new milk joke. I don't know if I have any new milk jokes, but let's talk about like who you are, right? Like, tell us a little bit about your career, your daily delta, like what's gotten you to this point today?
Yeah, so my name's Ken McCarty. I'm the youngest of the 4 McCarty brothers. Go to work with those guys every day. Married, 3 kids, 3 young boys, all blonde haired, blue eyed, good looking like their mom. And my role in our family's company is basically sustainability, animal welfare, do a lot of the public relations work, and do a lot of our data analytics and kind of innovation projects.
So just a couple of things.
Just a few hats.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the sustainability arm of what you kind of are focusing on. Yeah. What does that look like for your operation?
So when we talk about sustainability, we talk about it in a very broad sense. You know, too often I think people, when they hear the word sustainability, think about environmentalism.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what our focus is. It's a piece of our focus. But, you know, our focus is on ultimately creating an ecosystem that can sustain and propagate our business into the future.
Mm.
And that our business can propagate the supporting ecosystem into the future as well. Environmental sustainability is definitely a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Where we are located, water conservation is a big piece of that.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, being in the ag space, we're directly connected to soil. So soil health, utilizing soil as a means of carbon sequestration to help combat climate change. Those are cornerstones of our environmental sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we try to go deeper than that. We try to go to community sustainability. How do we keep kids in schools? How do we keep schools propped up and open? How do we keep a vibrant local economy that is not singularly focused? Mm-hmm. How do we support different community movements? And then things like, obviously, our economic model. How do we create a more efficient and beneficial economic model that makes us a viable business?
Yeah. So you're talking about community impact, right? Like, mm-hmm. And that's kind of the common theme of the show. Like, what are you guys doing to drive that, right? Like, what's the way that you get involved with the community? Is it like boots on the ground stuff? Like, speak to that a little bit for us.
Yeah, so it's a little bit everything. One of the easiest and warmest and fuzziest thing to talk about in terms of community development is what we call our Yogurt for Youth program.
Okay.
Our end customer of all of our dairy products is ultimately Dan and Yogurt. And so we have a vested interest in the yogurt industry.
Sure.
And
I think that's the first time I've ever heard that sentence. That's cool. I like that. I'm in a new space right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, right.
I'm
just, right. Let's just keep driving.
I'm embracing it. Yeah.
But what we do is there's a lot of local school districts where our dairies are located that don't have the funding to provide healthy snacks to kids. And so that burden ultimately falls back onto the parents. And in our area, it's not the wealthiest area in the world.
Okay.
I'll say that. In the school district where my kids go to school, somewhere between 60 and 70% of the kids are free and reduced lunch.
60 to 70%.
Wow.
Yeah. It's huge number. Tragic. And at the end of the day, you know, if those kids, they can't afford a lunch, how are they going to afford a snack?
Right.
So we've tried to fill that gap and fill that gap with a product that's near and dear to our heart. Mm-hmm. So the first year that we began the program, we donated about 250,000 servings of yogurt. This past year, it was just shy of 100,000. Mm-hmm. But that's really kind of the coolest project I think we do.
That's
in terms
awesome.
Of community.
How long have you guys been doing that program?
Ooh, 5 years.
5 years?
Yeah.
And I think the thing that, you know, farmers and growers, their community impact is they're literally feeding the world. We have changed our landscape so much. And as you kind of touched on it in that there's the soil, you know, protecting that and making sure that you guys are being stewards of the land. How has that kind of shaped and evolved then the long game of what you guys are doing? So how does that affect your operations? Because I know a lot of people, it's been this like hot topic in the news, and something I've been watching is there's this consumer perception challenge, I think, in the ag industry on, you know, what we're trying to achieve, and people only know what they know based on what the media is telling them. So how are you guys trying to change and educate so that way consumers are actually understanding what you guys do?
Yeah. Wow. So there's a lot of ways. The first way that we try to do that is, and it's the most hands-on, is we try to open up all of our farms to essentially anybody who wants to come in and learn, whether that be university groups or school-age tours. Everybody, governmental officials to the red hat ladies, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. We give tours to thousands of people a year. And in fact, the newest area that we've opened in Ohio is going to have a dairy educational or a visitor center attached right to the front of it, where
nice.
We can basically paint the picture of soil to supper plate or soil to shelf of the entire process of what it actually takes to create that cup of yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
So we're super excited about that. It's going to be great. But beyond that, we try to do things like this, tell our story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're on Facebook, we're on YouTube, we have a website. But, you know, ultimately, we're most effective when we can have that personal connection.
Sure.
And so that's really where we try to focus is on that interpersonal connection and bring people to the farm and just talk to them about what we do.
Well, relationships are everything, right? Like
right.
when you have a relationship at play, it gives you the opportunity to like really explain the impetus of why, you know? And I think it's amazing that you guys have such a commitment to like education as well.
Yeah.
That's huge.
That's critical, you know? Less than, 2% of the population's directly involved with ag mm-hmm. anymore. So mm-hmm. For people to really understand the importance of stewardship in agriculture and, you know, feel good about what they eat and to help them understand that they can vote for a better world with their purchases of what they buy and what they put in their body. That's something we take seriously.
Yeah.
And I think it's, and again, maybe it's because these are like my own soapbox issues, knowing like having my family's background in agriculture. But I think people have this perception that, you know, farmers are so antiquated and that, you know, they're just like humming along. But I think it's really cool that you guys make so many decisions with data and that you have technology kind of creeping throughout your entire operation. So talk about how like farming has completely shifted over the last decade with technology and how it's helping you guys make more sustainable choices.
Yeah. So, it's great that I can look back through our family's history and look at, the black and white photos of my great grandfather out, forking hay around and that sort of stuff.
That's so cool.
And not to say that I haven't had to do that in my own life, but yes, especially in the past, to your point, a decade, but really in the past 3 to 5 years, we've seen the rise of technology and especially the rise of data collection and data analytics in the ag sphere and in the dairy sphere, especially. And, it's all about making better decisions and making more appropriate decisions. Mm-hmm. For example, we utilize soil moisture probes on all of our farms, all of our crop ground. And the goal there is to conserve water and be more efficient. And the volume of water that precision ag, that data-driven ag has allowed us to save is, for a lot of people, it's mind-bending. It's hundreds of millions of gallons of water that we're able to conserve.
Wow.
That, in the previous model would have just been wasted.
Yeah.
So you guys have, I think, a pretty structured operation. So, but for some of those smaller growers what's your advice to them? So how can other people start to adopt some similar practices, or what are you seeing maybe?
Yeah, so we do have the fortune of having a great team around us. And I have the good fortune of having three brothers that I go to work with that, we all have our different areas of interest. But I guess my biggest piece of advice is don't be afraid. Doing new things, doing innovative things, utilizing technology doesn't have to be scary. And it's okay to ask for help. You don't have to go it alone. There's a lot of people out there that are way smarter than me that can help people achieve what they want to achieve. But at the end of the day, you just have to jump and get started.
Well said.
That's something that we've talked about so many times, I feel like, in the last few episodes, is that no fear thing.
Right.
And I think it's a very powerful statement. And and I think people are afraid of technology. And there are ways that technology and AI are going a little dark, a little scary. Right. But this is an example of where it's really powerful and amazing.
Yeah. And I think people are just afraid of what they don't know too, right?
Exactly.
So it's like anytime you're being forced or you willingly step outside of your comfort zone, that can be scary as hell. But if you can channel that or use that as motivation, that's when you go next level. Right.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit, you guys have this huge commitment to community, you have this huge commitment to education, and what you're doing with the schools and the snack program is amazing. Is this a thing that's always been at the core of your guys' op, or was this a thing that evolved over time?
Yes. Yeah, so it's always been a foundational principle of ours. Mm-hmm. But in our previous life, we were very market-based. And, when your primary focus is survival,
right.
It's very difficult to focus on other things. For the past 7 years, we've been involved with direct marketing to Dan and Yogurt in a very innovative pricing model. And that's taken some of that burden of financial insecurity away.
Okay.
And in doing that, it's allowed us to really sharpen our focus on things that actually matter. Our business is sustainable now, but now how do we disperse that out to a world bigger than just our own.
Wow. That's awesome.
I love that. And you guys, with Dan, and I know that they have a pretty strong, they made a statement a few years ago that they'll only work with other partners that have a similar model. So talk about what that is.
Yeah. So, it's really a beautiful story. We have an incredibly aligned vision of where we want to go in the world. With obviously heavy emphasis on environmental sustainability, animal welfare, worker care, a stable economic model, and ultimately doing more good. And Dana North America is one of the largest B Corps in the world, if not the largest B Corp in the world. And our hope is to, and what we're actively pursuing right now as McCarty Family Farms, is to join them on that journey. And I think that's ultimately the whole point, isn't it? Is that good begets more good. And hopefully what we do can inspire and push other people or pull other people to do more good as well.
So you've been like raised in this space, right? Like it's obviously like hard coded in who you are, but like, can you point back to your like aha moment or like the a thing that happened that you were like, yes, this, this is really why we exist?
Ooh, I would have to say probably the birth of my kids. You know,
how many kids you have?
Three, three boys.
That's right. You said that. How old are they?
13, 4, and 2.
All right. The whole spectrum.
My house is chaos. It's pure chaos.
We've got four at home, so I
feel you. You get it, right? But that was the moment for you that made you say, this is our thing.
You know, it becomes, the world becomes bigger than just yourself. You know?
It's pretty powerful.
That's awesome.
So that was kind of it.
It's amazing.
So
like, if you could drop one, like, big bit of advice for like somebody out there, not necessarily in your space either, right? Just like a leader, a business owner, or just an individual trying to bring change to the world, right? You've talked about the lack of fear, but like one tip that's accessible across all facets, what would that be based on your experience?
You know, I think what happens often is take something like climate change. It seems so big that you can't fix it. You don't have to fix it. You just have to do something. So don't wait. Don't become inactive. Don't become stagnant simply because the problem seems insurmountable. You know, any progress is good progress. Just get started.
We talk about that a lot on the show, actually, where we talk about how, like, you know, you can't like turn a corner, whether it's news or social media or anything, without seeing what's happening in the world, right? And sometimes it feels like it's just coming off the rails. But if everybody did just like this much, the cascade ripple effect is just infinite.
You know? So how is, like, as you guys are making these changes, what has been the response from like your peers in the dairy space? Are people like starting to join along and seeing the fruits of that like pivot, or is there a lot of resistance, and how are you having those conversations to try and pull others into this with you?
Yeah, so that's, it's been a pretty mixed response. You know, not everybody is receptive or wants to walk this path. And that's okay too, you know. But for those that do, it's interesting. We had a dairyman friend of mine ask me the one day, said, well, what are you doing next? You know, and I kind of jokingly, you know, but his point was, and he's another Danone supplier, his point was that, hey, you know, as you guys continue to push the envelope, we go with you.
Right.
That's awesome.
And yeah, you know, hey, that makes it worthwhile because you see the good spread. So,
well, there's a community around it too, right?
Exactly. Like,
in one of our previous episodes, our guest likened, you know, doing good to working out and a routine for working out. And when you don't have somebody holding you accountable or pushing you or pulling you, it becomes so much easier to just let that thing go by the wayside when it gets hard or when you get buried, right?
Eat a donut, man.
Did you bring donuts?
I did not. I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's okay.
Next time.
It's okay.
With your LaCroix next time.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Dip it in the LaCroix. That'd be delicious. But you know what I mean? Like when you have that community holding you accountable and like helping you move the ball up the field, that's so much more powerful in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's what's been great about this conference is you get to surround yourself with people that are at various points along the path, but they're still on the same path as you. And it's great to feed off that energy. It's great to throw ideas at one another and encourage one another. You know, you don't feel like when you bring something up, people are going to look at you like you have two heads.
Right.
So it's a great
collaboration,
great
right?
Exactly.
Makes the world go around. So like if any of our listeners out there want to learn more about you, about the organization, like what's the best way to connect with you guys online or social media? Hit us with a little bit of that.
Yes. Yeah, so we do have a website, McCartyFamilyFarms.com. You'll find us on Facebook, their Facebook page for the dairies in the West, McCarty Family Farms, and the dairy in the East at MVP. And we're on YouTube where you can watch some videos about our farms, or the best way, just come and see us.
Yeah.
That's right, with all the tours.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So any of your farms, someone could go and get a tour?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're in what states? Open.
What's that?
What states?
Kansas, Nebraska, and Ohio.
Ohio. What part of Ohio, I have to ask?
Western Ohio, Mercer County near Salina.
Yeah, yeah. I have family there.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, cool. I grew up in the Cincinnati-Columbus like belt between the two. So, yeah, very cool.
No, it's an awesome area.
Yeah.
So cool.
Very
I love
cool.
It there.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today. I think just the conversation, it's always fun because I think people think businesses are that attend conferences like the Do More Good conferences or join things like the B Corp movement or 1% for the Planet or Conscious Capitalism, that you have to be this like corporate entity. But it's like, no, it can span everywhere. So I think it's so cool that what you guys are doing in the ag space. And
awesome. Yeah.
Well, thanks.
Excited
to watch it.
Thank you
thanks
for carving
for
time for us.
Yeah,
today.
No,
this
I appreciate the invite, guys.
Yeah, cool. Anytime.
So what did you think of this one? Because I'm...
Like, you're versed in this space,
I'm versed
right?
in this space. I love this space.
So I like you said at the end of the show, I think it's so cool to see, like, the perception that, like, would be the norm for most people. Like, when they think of, you know, businesses that attend a conference, they think the corporate entity.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see that, like, no, it can be any industry. It can be, like, anything. It's all about, like, what's the end goal? What's the long play, as you say a lot, right? Like, how are we inspiring change? How are we bringing more good to the world? And what they're doing for those kids in the school, though, that's incredible.
Yeah, that's really cool that they feed people, right, with what they do as an operation, but then to take that extra responsibility.
That whole next step.
Because when kids aren't eating, they're not learning, they're not thriving in the classroom, and then they're destined to not reach their potential.
Yeah, the whole thing is the ripple effect.
If we could eradicate kids going home hungry and giving them food so they can actually prosper, like that fundamentally will shift our society.
And it's neat to see there's so many different ways to do good, though. That's, I think, like my biggest takeaway from our show and the conversations we have, right?
It's
like
so lucky
all these different minds are very creatively doing things that are driving change and driving impact and driving purpose and good in the world. And they're all approaching it from a different stance based on what skills can I bring to the table to impact, you know what I mean?
And I think with this, you know, conversation we had today specifically, the fact that McCarty Farms is inviting people who don't know it to their farms to like see the thing and experience it and realize it's not just for show,
right?
That this is how we're committed. I invite people to take them up on that conversation, or if that's not the conversation you need sold on, go, what's the thing that you're questioning or doubting that you only know what you've been told,
right,
but you haven't experienced or learned it? Go get uncomfortable and ask the awkwardly embarrassing questions because you're not informed and you don't want to look stupid, but look stupid and go ask that person questions.
Yeah.
So then you could have your own opinion. And that's what I think is really cool about their op.
I feel like I failed you today, homie.
You did not fail
me. No, listen, like normally, like I feel, and I am the first to be like, all my jokes are not good. I know that.
I mean, you have solid dad jokes.
I do. I am a dad though. Four kids that'll do that to you. But like, I was so confident when we sat down with him that like, I know I've got, you know, I got 30 minutes. I can come up with a good milk joke, right?
Oh yeah. You did
and
drop
I
me
didn't.
On that.
I didn't do that. So we're going to like rely on you guys, right? Like, hop into the comments. Help me out. Hit me with a milk joke.
Save
Where did I miss the opportunity?
Andrew in this moment.
Hashtag milk joke for Andrew.
Yeah. Please.
But do make sure that you guys connect with us on social media. Hit us up with anybody that you think we need to be talking to or know about, or if you yourself are just an advocate for change and impact.
Or if there's an industry you want to learn about that you think we could shed some light on, let us know.
Yeah.
We'll go meet them.
Yeah. We said it many times. The road show. It's happening.
It is going to happen. We're plotting the calendar. That's so we will be coming to an somewhere near you.
Yeah. Give me one of the fist bumps. End of the day. It was super fun. I appreciate you as always.
As you as well.
Let's do the thing. You ready?
Yep.
All right. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Angie.
And we'll catch you on the flip.
Introducing the Capital One Walmart Rewards Card. Earn unlimited 5% back on everything you buy at Walmart online. It's the perfect card for all your family's hints this holiday season. Like 5% back on the air fryer Grandpa told you about when he fell asleep in his chair.
Maybe we'll fry anything.
Or 5% back on the laptop your sister had carolers sing to you.
Two turtle doves and a laptop for Carrie.
The Capital One Walmart Rewards Card. Earn unlimited rewards, including 5% back at Walmart online. What's in your wallet?
Terms and exclusions apply. Capital One NA.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Let's talk credit card debt for a minute. If you feel you're carrying too much of it, you're not alone. The average household in the U.S. carries over $8,000 in credit card debt. Ready for some good news? With a cash out refinance from Quicken Loans, you can quickly and easily put some of the equity in your home to good use by paying off a lot of that high interest credit card debt. A great way to take cash out is with our 30-year fixed rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.08%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN to learn how taking cash out with a 30-year fixed mortgage might be the right solution for you. And for a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rates subject to change. Pay 1.25% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Is your cell phone bill out of control? Then this is your wake-up call. The new TracFone Wireless gives you unlimited talk and text starting at $20 a month, no contract, plus unlimited carryover data with active service. Yep, the new TracFone Wireless. Now you're in control. See terms and conditions at TracFone.com.